Napa know-how.
There are lots of amazing cars on the road, but perhaps none more amazing than the paid-off car. It may not be pretty, but the price is right. Heck, if you keep that thing running, it'll actually start paying you. Because with Napa Rewards, for every $100 you spend, you'll get $5 off. So keep your car running longer, stronger with Napa Rewards and watch the savings start rolling in. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Also a writer over at bourbonstreetshots.com, where I've actually got an article up today about Drew Holiday, something I'm going to talk heavily about on this podcast here today. I also preview All-Star Weekend for you guys. As I was saying yesterday, there's pretty much something for every day on Friday, Saturday, Sunday for you to pay attention to if you're a fan of New Orleans Pelicans. And I'm just going to assume you are, because otherwise there's probably very little reason to listen to the podcast. My voice isn't that nice. So we're going to talk about Drew Holiday, how he's playing at a near all-star level right now. Specifically, what is he doing different? How is he doing things differently? And how is it working for the Pelicans and, you know, potentially, hopefully, at least for the team, going to get him into the playoffs? Then we'll talk about each of the three events on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, get you guys set to go into the weekend, and then I'll be back with you all on Monday recapping All-Star Weekend. How did Buddy Hield do? How did Anthony Davis do? We're going to want to know. There's a lot going on here in New Orleans, so, you know, it's easy to kind of, you know, maybe not pay attention to some of the stuff that's happening right now. So before I jump into Drew Holiday, which we're going to do in just a moment here, I'm going to let everyone know, Saturday I will not be doing anything All-Star related because I am actually walking in the Chewbacca parade down in the Marigny Bywater area of New Orleans, big sci-fi geek fest. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited. It's my first year walking in it. I'm part of the Bar Wars crew. I'll be dressed as an X-Wing looking pilot, got my costume and everything. It's like the most uncomfortable thing ever in the world. And it's like a half size too small. And I'm in this big orange jumpsuit that rides up so hard. I don't think I'm actually capable of sitting down in it without tearing it. So Monday, I'll also give you guys an update on how that went. But if you're going to be out at the parade, tweet at me, at Nola Jake. Let me know where you're going to be standing. I'll try and throw some good stuff your way. So Drew Holiday, and if you haven't yet, go take a look at bourbonstreetshots.com where I have the article up, but if you're too lazy to read, I can go in a little more depth here, which is also kind of fun, having the podcast and kind of dive into this and walk you through some of the stats and everything. So there's pretty much, I went back and looked after his good game against Memphis the other night. You know, when you watch him play, he just looks like a bit of a different player right now, and largely it's him just being more assertive, more decisive, more aggressive, and I think realizing he needs to be a scorer on this team and not as much of a facilitator, which is what the role he tended to try and gravitate towards earlier in the season and in the year. Here, they need him more as someone who can just share the scoring load with Anthony Davis and take some of the pressure off of him. And recently, he's done that, and he's done it very well. And the question was, you know, when did this start and maybe why did this start? And so I looked at his game logs and there's a clear defining date. And it's really the game against the Cavaliers on January 23rd. And it's that game when Anthony Davis was out. Everyone's going to remember that as the Terrence Jones game. But Holiday posted 30 points, 10 assists, 6 rebounds that night. You know, 4 rebounds shy of a triple-double, which is, you know, very impressive. And that game kind of stands out as he's gone on a run since then. So basically, overall on the season, he's averaging 16.3 points per game, 7.5 assists, an offensive rating of 102.9, shooting 46.9% from the field. And he's got a usage rate of 24.6%. So when he's on the court, he's using about a quarter of the Pelicans' possessions. Since that Cavs game, since January 23rd, he's averaging 21.8 points, 8.4 assists, so about an assist more, you know, about, what is that, 5.5 points more per game. He's got an offensive rating of 106.1, so about, you know, 3.2 more than it was before. And he's shooting a whopping 55.6% from the field. So it's about, you know, it's 9% or so higher. Overall, just his offensive game in general is much more efficient, deadly, effective, just better overall. There's no other way to put it. So, you know, and here's the biggest thing. Normally when you see an increase of 5.5 points per game, that usage rate for the player is going to skyrocket. Here, it's more or less negligible. It's less than 2% difference. Normally, to get that kind of increase, you're going to need to see it be much more. Here, like I said, it's largely the same thing. So what's he doing? So before I touch on what he's doing, it's the thing about the usage rate is if it's largely staying the same, he's just being much more effective and efficient. And he's not taking opportunities away from Anthony Davis. That usage rate jumps up to 30%. That 6% is going to have to come from somewhere. You can't spread that around that much. Davis is going to have less opportunity to shoot and score and all of that. Here, with the difference being under 2%, you're really not. Again, it's not really factoring in. That's a wonderful thing for him to be able to go out and score like this. So what's going on? And a lot of it is much better shot selection and more efficient shot selection. And you can kind of just see this everywhere. So if you look at shots closer, like under 5 feet from the rim, so really close to the rim, basically the restricted area. Overall in the year, he's attempting 4.9. He's making 2.7, so shooting 55.3%, basically 55.3% at the rim, more or less. And that's not a surprise. You know, that's standard. The rim, you're going to have high, good percentage looks. That tends to be a higher field goal percentage than elsewhere. But since 123, he's attempting 6.2 shots at the rim. That's up from 4.9. He's making 4.2, up from 2.7. He's shooting 66.7% at the rim. All of a sudden, he's finishing better is what this comes down to, or at least there. He's finishing better at the rim. And I went to the, you know, film, thankfully, on NBA.com. And all these numbers are from NBA.com stats. It's all under the player tracking, the advanced stats. You can go look at this all yourself. So, you know, it's unbelievable to see him play with this aggressiveness, this decisiveness. If you watch him out there, he looks like it's like a more under control Tyreek Evans. He's got more, you know, it's a bit of a Russell Westbrook-ish attacking mindset than what he's had before. And he sees a lane, and rather than probing the defense, so you take a couple of steps in, dribble, 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 look around, try and make a pass to an open man, facilitating, basically. He's not doing that as much. He sees the lane to the rim because defenders are putting it out there, and he takes what they're given. And all of a sudden, he's going full bore to the rim. But you still got to finish at the rim. And one of the things he's doing is he's using his body more than you've seen him in the past to either create separation or protect the ball and prevent defenders from making a play on it. So I got two examples in the article over on bourbonstreetshots.com right now. And the first one, he sees a lane and he just goes, boom, attacks, drives. Marc Gasol rotates over to try and either block it, contest it. Holiday kind of gets his back, sticks his butt out too, into Marc Gasol, creates a little bit of separation by using his body as a shield. And he goes in with a reverse layup and makes it, whereas Gasol might have been able to block it otherwise. The next one against Memphis is Connolly guarding him after a light pick from Donatus Moniunis at the top, doesn't really do anything. So he doesn't get the separation off the screen. Holiday still goes full bore to the rim, and he drops, and he's going on the right side dribbling. He keeps the ball very close to his body, his arms not out. No one can just stick an arm in there and kind of poke it out and get the steel off of him. He's very under control. And he's using his left shoulder right into the body of Mike Connolly. And he's not pushing off with the arm. That's a foul. But he's using that arm kind of stationary and using his body to just keep Connolly away from him, out of arm's reach to make a play on the ball. Holiday scores easily on this. And Connolly, after that, is just kind of looking like there was nothing I could do. And this is what you want to see from Drew Holiday. You know, the Pels have to make a decision on him at the end of this year. And if he's playing at this level, again, jumping his points per game up to 21.8 and 8.4 assists, that's all. Think about it. 21.8 points, that's great. He's also assisting on 8.4 minimum right there. It's 16.8 points he's helping on. In addition to the 21.8 he's scoring, all of a sudden you're looking at 40 points that he's more or less creating by himself. Pair that with Anthony Davis, who's putting up near 30 a game. All of a sudden, that's 70 points right there. You just need 30 more points, more or less, from the rest of the team, not counting the 16 from assists. So you're looking at 46 points, basically, from the rest of the team combined. Again, they play 10 guys sometimes. Eight other guys, can they get you, 46 points, 40 points? You'd hope. It's not a lot per person there. So it's one of the things. So the Pels have to make a decision on him. And if he's playing like this, you're going to max him out. It's no question. But there's comments from Anthony Davis to ESPN.com and Mark Stein. Basically makes it seem as if the Pels are going to go all in here with him. And that was Anthony Davis saying, yeah, he's lobbying and talking to Drew every single day about re-signing. He doesn't know what Drew's going to do, but he's going to try his hardest to get him to re-sign. We know Davis is consulted on when it comes to personnel decisions. He's not going to be trying to get Drew Holiday to re-sign if he and the front office have said, no, we don't want him, we're going to let it go. Not at all. So it gives you an idea of what this blueprint for this team is. Bring in another scoring big. Have your core be Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis, scoring big man, center, and Buddy Hield. That's not the worst four. And then the 2017 guy, that's probably the other one. That's your fifth guy right there, especially if you can get a wing. So all of a sudden, you have a decent core going forward, depending on the big they bring in. But there's potential here to have this not be as bad of a train wreck as it's been so far. Whether that core works together, who knows? But at least you'd feel more comfortable about that core and the future it might have, especially if they bring in a guy like Okafor, who's young. You got to feel he might be pretty good. Or even if they bring in Brook Lopez, who's still got some good years ahead of him, you have to feel much better about the future than you would have otherwise. But with Drew Holiday playing like this, it's a no-brainer to go out and sign him to a max and bring him back. You're not going to get that talent in free agency whatsoever. And that's what, especially with Anthony Davis' comment, is what it sounds like the Pelicans are going to do. And now for the all-star primer for Pelicans fans. So actually, despite it being in New Orleans, you would think, you know, with how bad the team has been, there wouldn't be much going on for Pelicans fans here on this all-star weekend. So one, if you have a chance, get downtown, wander around the area, just try and take in some of it. It's a really great atmosphere. You know, after this, New Orleans probably isn't going to get it for a little bit, given that this is their, basically their third All-Star game in 9 years, something like that. And it was done as an emergency situation. So, you know, this probably puts them back at the end of the rotation, despite their unbelievable ability to put this all together and host it on such short notice. But you have to figure, you know, get down there, take it in, go to the stores, see some of the different events and everything that are going on. If you get invited to any of the parties, go. If you can do any of the fan experience type things, go and see that. It's so much fun. It's going to be very unique. You're not really going to be able to do anything else like this when it comes to basketball down here. As for on-court stuff and what's going on there, so like I said, there's something for every day. During the festivities down here, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Tonight, you have the Rising Stars Challenge, the U.S. versus the world, and the U.S. is gonna get smoked. Seriously, take a look at the world roster, and I'll just throw out some of the names on there. You got Nikola Jokic, who's gonna probably be the best player on there, to be honest. Kristaps Porzingis, Domantas Sabonis from the Thunder, Jamal Murray from the Nuggets, Trey Lyles on the Jazz, Dante Exum from the Jazz, and then you got the Pelicans' own Buddy Hield. And then you have the roster for the U.S. Devin Booker's really good. Malcolm Brogdon's really good, too. Marcus Chris is okay. Brandon Ingram of the Lakers, okay. Frank Kaminsky of the Hornets, eh. Jahlil Okafor for the 76ers, eh. You've got Karl Anthony Towns. That's your big name there. And I believe, unless he's, I guess he might be out now due to injury. Joel Embiid was supposed to be on the world team. So that does change it a little bit. But Buddy Hield's on the world team. Usually this game's really fun because two players tend to go at each other. I was at this, 2-3 years ago when they had it in New Orleans. I forget, I think it was Dion Waiters, maybe Tim Hardaway Jr. I don't remember, but it was during the Rising Stars Challenge. They were on opposite sides, started playing horse. One guy would make a shot, then the next guy would go out and try and top it. And players were just giving them the ball to just take these absurd, ridiculous threes and different shots that they were doing. And everyone's just having fun because no one really cares that much. So you have to figure if Buddy Hield can get hot early in this game, being in New Orleans, they'll just start feeding him the ball and let him put on a show. I'm worried for two reasons. One, you have to, normally NBA players, when they're wide open, they make threes and they make their shots. Buddy Hield, we've seen when he's wide open, that shot doesn't always go. I don't want him to fail on like the grand stage here and in front of everyone in the home court. You want his confidence to be a thing. So I'm a bit worried for that. But you have to figure they're going to try and let him showcase himself, have a lot of fun in front of the home fans. So it's still a nice thing, and I'm all for it. If you get a chance, either go to the game, watch it on TV. It should be a great time. Saturday is All-Star Saturday night. I will not be participating in anything here or watching anything because I'm going to be walking in an X-Wing costume, being a geek in Chewbacca's. But there are reasons to pay attention, and at least I'll check my phone to see what happened here. You have Anthony Davis playing in the skills competition. It's kind of one bracket and two sides to the bracket, obviously. Duh. One side is guards. One side is bigs. Sorry, and Davis is going to be on the big side. He did this, last year? Got knocked out in the first round. He's at home now. He's going to want to try and put on a decent show. It doesn't take much energy to participate in, like, an obstacle course, make passes and things like that, and see how quickly you can do it. He's got the passing ability, the dribbling ability. He used to be a guard in high school before he kind of just had a huge growth spurt, ended up as tall, near 7 foot like he is. So this should be a fun one to watch, just to see. Of like the four events, it's usually the kind of like the most disappointing and the worst one. But for Pelicans fans this year, since no Pelicans in the dunk competition, in the 3-point competition, though, there is a former Pelican in Eric Gordon who's participating in the 3-point shootout. The celebrity game's a celebrity game and whatever. But that might be Friday too. I cannot remember now. But basically, out of all those events, it's like, whatever. No one really seems to care that much about the skills competition. But we should care this year because Anthony Davis is in it. So we should all be rooting for him to win. Let's get some sort of trophy and silverware this year for the Pelicans. And then finally, Sunday, you have the actual All-Star game itself with Anthony Davis, the hometown guy, in his home arena, the Smoothie King Center, starting for the Western Conference. You have to figure, this one might be a Russell Westbrook show, given that he's going to be on the team with Durant and all of those, four Warriors players made it. He probably wants to go out and be like, this is my thing, I'm going to do it. Who knows? But they will also give Davis a shot to put on a bit of a show. You've seen him go up for some massive, massive dunks. It's a lot of fun to watch. There's no defense played in the All-Star game. They go up for just big plays, big shots, big dunks. It should be a good time. Watch it. Take in the atmosphere. Again, get downtown if you can and just find out what's going on. Just wander around. You'll see some pretty cool things. Mother's is a touristy type restaurant, though I actually think it's pretty good, and I don't think it deserves the flack that it gets. if you just go watch the line, see who's waiting in it. You know there's always a line there. You might see people that would be unexpected to be waiting in a line. It's pretty cool. All part of the atmosphere and fun of All-Star Weekend. And at least there's something every day for Pelicans fans this year. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Again, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Don't forget, give the podcast a follow. It's at Locked On Pels. Tweet me your questions you have. I try and answer them when I check it, and you know, either on Twitter or here on the podcast. I'll do another mailbag-style one again. That's a lot of fun. Rest for the Pels, no games. All-Star game this weekend. Like I said, pay attention. Check out bourbonstreetshots.com for the article on Drew Holiday and how he's playing so much better. Why he's playing so much better. I've got some video examples in there as well for you to see. So enjoy your weekend. If you're at Chewbacca's this Saturday, let me know. That's where I'll be. But if not, enjoy the All-Star game. Enjoy New Orleans. Enjoy basketball. It's a lot. It should be a lot of fun. Everyone should be happy with this. And I'll be back with you all on Monday to recap everything.
Napa Know How.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.